We're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 7, and to a very familiar portion of the Word of God. And with our Bibles open before us, we'll bow together just in a word of prayer. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the words that we've been singing this evening. Write them upon our hearts. We thank Thee for Thy Word which we have read. We recognize Thy Word is truth. And Lord, we pray that as we turn to it, that You would give us an understanding of Thy Word. We thank Thee that it's old, yet ever new. Impress those truths upon our hearts by Thy Spirit this evening. Lord, to that end, I ask Thee for help. Bring to my thoughts the things that Thou would have us to say. Give us that enduement that comes not from man, but that enduement that comes from Thee. Lord, help us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, I want to draw your attention to the latter verses. We'll read that verse 26 and 27 again, familiar verses. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. As we come into these verses, we find the Lord bringing His Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion, seeking to reinforce His words. He set before them the tale of two builders. From the context, it seems that these two men shared the same outlook and the same objectives in life. Going forth, they both decided to build brand new houses. From the fact that both structures were eventually subject to the same storms and the same stresses, they both must have been built in the same locality. While one of the houses took longer to construct than the other, yet outwardly they almost were identical in their design. They shared the same number of rooms and stories. More than that, their doors and windows were of a similar design, and they were placed in the same place in both of the buildings. Their chimneys were constructed from the same brick. The only difference between these two houses was that while one had a foundation stretching deep down into the depths of the earth, the other had no foundation. The storms eventually breaking loose, it was not their outward design. It was not even their outward beauty, but that which was hidden, that which man could not see, that made the difference. One of the houses stood fast, the other house fell. And you see, that which matters in life is not that which is outward or visible, but that which is inward and which is not, which is invisible. If the heart which is hidden is not right, then nothing is right in that life. Indeed, speaking to the Pharisees, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 23 in the verse 27, "Woe unto you, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." While their outward lives were spectacular, their inward lives being sinful, we find the Lord pronouncing His woe upon them. You see, what a person's heart is what that person really is. If the heart is not right, then nothing is right in that life. You know, the poet Abraham Cowley tells of a gentleman whose home was attacked during the English Civil War. determined he was going to escape, but he was going to escape as a gentleman. He didn't rush. He took his time. He put on his band and he adjusted his wig. But you know, while leaving his house, he looked very good and he looked very proper. He was arrested. And being arrested, he was taken out and he was put to death. You see, the mere outward adorning of your life without an inward change will avail nothing. Outwardly, you could look like a Christian. In fact, outwardly, you could look like the best my Christian that ever lived. But if the heart is not right, if the heart has not been changed, if it's not been changed by the grace of God, then your soul will be lost. And the question arises this evening, how is your heart? In what state is your heart this evening? Has that part of you which is hidden, which men don't ordinarily see, why has it been changed? How is your heart this evening? And so I want to draw your attention this evening to the foolish man of whom we read in this parable. I want you to notice firstly here the building this man erected. Determined to waste no time, he immediately began to build upon the sand. While his house rose quickly up into the heavens, yet you notice here that his plans, they were flawed. While using the very best of materials, we read in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." Both buildings being built in the same locality, they both encountered the same conditions. Seeing the sand, we are told concerning the wise man in the Gospel of Luke that he digged down deep, going down through layer after layer of soil. He went down until he found the solid rock, and finding the rock, he then began to build his house. However, this foolish man, seeing no need for such added expense, he built his house upon the sand. And seeing no need for the rock, no need for the rock, now his house eventually in the storm came tumbling down. You see, only that which is built upon Christ, the solid rock, will stand. Every other building, every other structure will give way. Indeed, writing unto the Corinthians, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And going on in the following verses, he reminded them that the foundation of materialism and the foundation of every other ism would eventually crack and give way. And you see, without Christ, the solid rock, you are without a refuge. There is no other foundation that will stand in the storms of judgment. You know, a preacher on one occasion was preaching at the Shamrock Races, and as he was standing there preaching, by a passerby began to ridicule and to attack the preaching. And he said to the preacher, "What do you know about the shamrock?" And without taking a moment to draw breath, the preacher said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are sham rocks. And every other foundation that you ever lay other than Christ is but a sham rock, and it will eventually crumble and pass away." Oh, I know tonight that the Church of Rome would have us to believe that Peter is my rock. However, you remember the Lord addressing him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter was not a rock. Peter was nothing but a little pebble. And how many tonight, and they're building their lives not upon their religiosity, they're building their lives upon their riches, they're building their lives upon their reputation, they're building their lives upon their own self-made religion. And my friend, it may bring you peace, it may bring you comfort. It may bring you a little satisfaction when trouble comes. But listen, when the storms begin to really blow, they will fail you. They will fail you. Christ is the only rock. This man thought he didn't need Christ. And despite all of his work, my, his structure came tumbling down. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're building your life upon anything else or anyone else other than Christ, then in the storms of judgment, you will be swept away. Not only were his plans flawed, but you notice also that his projections were flawed. Drawing up his plans, we read in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Beginning to build, the skies were clear as far as the eye could see. The sun beating down upon the ground, it was like concrete. And forgetting that little stream, so pleasant in summer, would in winter become a raging torrent, sweeping away everything that stood before it. This foolish man could see no need for underbuilding. You see, he thought that the conditions would never change, or at least that they would not change dramatically. But they did. And you see, my friend, today's sunshine is no guarantee for sunshine tomorrow. The climate of our lives can vary suddenly and dramatically change. Indeed, writing to the men of his day, Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The word boast there carries us forward into the little epistle of James, where they were planning to visit this city and visit that city. And while their diaries were filled with many appointments, James warned them that tomorrow, despite all of their plans, may not come. You see, tomorrow is unknown. And more than that, tomorrow is uncertain. The trickle of ill health in a moment can become a raging torrent, sweeping all away. While Job in the morning had his family and had his wealth and had his health, yet by the evening they were all gone. You know, in the morning of the Tuesday, the 11th September 2001, military personnel and civilians went to their work in the Pentagon as usual. They were going into one of the most secure buildings in all of the world. It had recently been renovated and reinforced with blast-resistant windows. On duty that day, there were over 300 security guards. Word then came of the planes crashing into the Twin Towers in New York, and a shudder passing through the place. One of the men turned to his colleague and he said, "Do you think we will be next?" The man laughed, and rebuffing his colleague, suddenly the wall beside him blew in and was followed by a ball of fire. And my friend tonight, the storms of death may seem to you to be a long, long way off. And perhaps tonight, if you have even ill health, it seems to you but a little trickle. But that can suddenly change. In a moment of time, it can suddenly change. And I wonder tonight if the circumstances in your life were to suddenly change, and the storms of adversity, the storms of death were to sweep in and to sweep you out into eternity. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? My friend, you need to be ready today, because you may not have a tomorrow. You see, his projections were flawed. He thought the weather would remain good. I think also you notice here that his peace was flawed. While things at first seemed to go well, we then read in verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You notice that not only did the rain come down and the floods go up, but the winds began to blow against us. And of course, when we go into Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, we find the devil being described in the chapter 2 as the prince of the power of the air. And the devil sweeping in, he swept away this man's house. You see, he was powerless. He was powerless against the wind. He was powerless against the might of the devil. And I tell you, profession without possession will fail. It can't stop the devil my sweeping you away. Indeed, one of the parables you read there of a man taking a brush, he swept and garnished his life. And while driving out the unclean spirit, yet we read in Matthew chapter 12 and the verse 45, "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." You see, in his own strength, this man was unable to resist the unclean spirit. He was unable to permanently change his life. And without the Savior, you're without strength. All your resolutions, no matter how polished, no matter how powerful you may think they are, they will be swept away. The secular philosopher Seneca said, "Men hate their sin, but they cannot leave them." And my friend, without Christ, you can make all the resolutions that you want, but temptation coming, they will sweep you away. They will sweep you away. You see, the only answer to alcoholism, the only answer to drug abuse, the only answer to bad language is Christ. He alone can bring a lasting change in your life. And this evening, you can build your life. And you can build it so that it looks beautiful, so that you can even take the finest Christian that you know and model your life on them. But if you're not resting in Christ, the solid rock, you're going to be swept away. Oh, the building this man erected. I wonder, is that the building that you're erecting tonight? Just an outward sham. Just an outward sham. But not only the building this man erected, but notice the blunders the master exposed. Outwardly, there was no difference between these two buildings. To the passerby, they were built to the same specification. They had the same lifespan. However, the Lord Jesus now exposing the hidden cracks. Notice concerning the foolish man that he didn't listen to the word. Describing the wise man, we read in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." From these words, it is clear that this foolish man had heard the word of God. However, when we go back into verse 24, the opposite impression is given. It seems there that he had not heard. But rather than contradicting each other, it seems that while he did hear the Savior's word, they were nothing more than mere sounds to him. You see, he listened, but at the same time, he was not really listening. Imagining that he knew better than the prophets, imagining that he knew better than the Savior, he built his house according to his own ideas. But it fell. It fell. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It leads to destruction. Emphasizing that, Solomon said in Proverbs 28, 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Eve thought that the forbidden fruit was better than the other fruit, but it ended in death. The man of Israel thought that 3,000 men were sufficient to go up against the city of Ai, but it ended in disaster. The centurion in Acts chapter 27 thought it would be better for him to dash to Rome rather than to winter in fair havens. But it ended in the loss of his vessel. You see, tonight, the human mind is not to be trusted. Your way may seem a good way. Your way may seem the right way. But it will end in disaster. Imagine a person drowning in a tempestuous sea. Someone sees them and they run and they get the life buoy and the rope and they attach the rope at great personal risk. They step out. They throw it out to the man. It lands right beside him. And the man just pushes it away and said, "Thank you very much, but I'll get my own way to the shore." You would say that man was a fool. And yet I wonder tonight, is that what you are doing? My, like this man, you've heard the word of God, but you're not really listening. You're pushing it to the side. You're thinking, I can get my own way to heaven. I can do this, I can do that, and it'll make me right with God. But my friend, it'll end in disaster. It'll end in disaster. And I want to tell you tonight that your way, no matter how good it seems to you, and I'm sure that this man thought that the way he built his house was wiser, cheaper, better than the other house. But it ended in disaster. And your way, that's where it'll end. It'll end in tragedy. It'll end in disaster. You see, he didn't listen to the word. More than that, he didn't live the word. Exposing his heart, we read in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." By the saying, or by the phrase, "these sayings," he was referring back here to the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. When we go back into chapter 5, we find the Lord there telling him in the verse 29, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee." In other words, he was saying to them, let nothing stop you. Let nothing hinder you obeying and doing the word of God. You see, my friend, as well as hearing, there must be a doing of the word, a putting of it into action. You remember the rich ruler and how, coming to the Lord Jesus, he said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And telling him to go and to sell all that he had, because the Lord recognized that this was this man's God. We read in Mark 10:22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Hearing the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, but failing to act on it, failing to do it. He was lost. You see, it's not the hearing. It's the doing of the word of God that is important. And unless you cast away those hindering things in your life and rest in Christ, your soul will be lost. It's not enough for to say, repent and believe. That's not enough. My friend, many have heard that, many have said that, but their souls are lost. It's not enough to say it, it's not enough to hear it. There needs to be an acting on it. There needs to be, on your part, a repenting and a believing. This man heard the word, but he didn't act on it. And maybe that pictures you sitting in this meeting this evening. You've heard the word of God. You've heard it many, many times. It has touched your heart. It has troubled your heart. But you have never acted on it. You need tonight to come to Christ. You need to build on Him. He didn't live. Notice also he didn't like the word. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Luke adds in his gospel that this wise man, taking his spade, that he dig deep. However, the foolish man, looking out and seeing the extra cost involved and not wanting to pay for that, he refused. You see, he wouldn't pay the price. He wouldn't dig down. And while salvation is without cost, it is in another sense with great cost. It'll cost you your sin. It may mean affliction. And I wonder tonight, my friend, are you willing to pay the price? You say this man was foolish. Why didn't he pay the extra price? Why didn't he dig down? Why didn't he invest in building on the rock? In the long run, it would have been best. And could I say to you, in the long run, it would be best. Yes, it may cost you some friendships. It may cost you if you're involved in things you shouldn't be. It may cost you financially. But in the long run, my friend, it will bring great eternal gain. Oh, how foolish this man was. He didn't listen. He didn't live. He didn't even like the word of God. And I wonder tonight, as you hear the word of God, what will you do with the word of God? Will you act upon it? Oh, the building this man erected, the blunders the master exposed. Then lastly, I want you to notice the blasts the men experienced. The sun beginning to set, the storms beginning to break forth. Notice the suddenness of these storms. Look at verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Palestine, to a large extent, was a land of hills and valleys, like other countries of similar terrain. The storm often came without warning, sweeping up from the Mediterranean, cloud bursting upon cloud. The Jordan very quickly burst its banks. I remember reading of a man, and he camped beside the Jordan. And waking up the next morning, he found the water sweeping by him. And as such, we see that not only did the storm come, but the storm came here with great suddenness. He wasn't expecting it. And the storms of divine judgment, they are sure. But more than that, they're sudden. They come without warning. Solomon, that man of great wisdom, he said in Proverbs 29, verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck," listen to it, "shall suddenly be destroyed." The judgment of God often comes suddenly without warning. Maybe as you're sitting in the meeting tonight, you're saying, "Yes, yes, Christ is the rock, but I've plenty of time." My friend, do you? We know not what a day may bring forth. The storms of judgment come suddenly. They come often when man least expect them. If they were to come tonight, how is it with your soul? How would they find you tonight? The suddenness of the storm. Notice also the strength of the storms. Verse 27. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The flood sweeping away his foundations. All this man was left with was a pile of useless rubble. All his work, it was for nothing. He couldn't even now give his house away. And I tell you, in that day, that which is not built upon Christ will be worthless. All your works, all your efforts, rather than being redemptive, they will be but rubble. My friend, your churchianity tonight may rise up like a great, splendid, my cathedral. But in that day when the storms of judgment come, there will be worth nothing. Worth nothing. Oh, this man had built, this man had invested, this man had put his heart into what he was doing. This man had been sincere in building his house. But all of it was just rubble. Not worth anything. And maybe you're patting yourself on your back and you're saying, "Preacher, I'm sincere in what I'm doing. I am dedicated to living a religious life. I've done this." But it's just rubble. It's just rubble. Notice also the severity of the storm, because verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." His house falling. It was now too late. Too late to build upon the rock. And in that day, when the storms of divine judgment finally break forth, it's then too late. Too late. Too late to change your life. Too late to rest on Christ, the solid rock. My friend, this alone is the day of salvation. Oh, tonight, are you on Christ, the solid rock? Are you dependent entirely upon him? The writer said, "His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." And I wonder tonight, is he all your hope? Is he your only hope tonight? Is he your stay? Are you resting on Christ, the solid rock? Just as the house, when it's built upon the foundation, its whole weight is on the foundation. It's not resting on anything else. And if your soul is to be safe in the days of divine storms, you need to be resting only in Christ. If in that day you're resting partly on your works and partly upon Christ, my friend, the cracks will suddenly appear. and the whole building will come tumbling down. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Are you standing on Him? Are you resting on Christ this evening? I trust tonight you'll not be as this foolish man, but you'll be like the wise man and build upon Christ.